On a more serious note, the song says, sometimes, alleluia. Sometimes it's about us, right? When we come to the Lord, we're burdened, we're heavy-hearted. It's about us, and that's okay. God tells us to bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sometimes it's just about Him. Sometimes all we can say is, alleluia. About a week ago, I was walking through the church, turning on lights and air, and I just said, Lord, You're amazing to me, Jehovah. And I used the word Jehovah. You're amazing, Jehovah, to me. That was exactly what I said. Thanking the Lord for a particular blessing that He had blessed me with recently. And our Jehovah is amazing. He's so great. This song is a little bit different than anything I've ever done before. I told Donnie it's probably musically the dumbest song I've ever written. But the words lift up our God, Jehovah. And every line in this song is a scripture in paraphrase. It starts out saying, You hung the worlds up in space. You created all things in their place. You numbered the stars, and You gave each one a name. You're amazing, Jehovah, to me. So amazing. If you want to turn to Genesis 1, that's where we're going to start. And before we get started, I've asked Don to play this very short little clip. It's just a little bit over a minute. We might even play it twice because there's a lot of detail in it, and I want you to get it. You might recognize Tony Evans' voice. He's got that gravelly voice.
God has 85 names in the Old Testament. Each name is designed to describe a different element of who God is or what God does. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the name Elohim, the strong one, the creator God. When God wanted to relate to his creation, he gave a new name. That is the name Yahweh, which we call Jehovah. So when you read your Bible and you see the name God, you have to look at the spelling to know which Hebrew word he's talking about. If you see G-O-D, that's generally Elohim, the creator God. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. If when you read your Bible, you see capital L, small o, small r, small d, that is generally Adonai, boss, manager, supervisor, the one who's in charge. When you read your Bible and you read the letter capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is generally Yahweh, the covenant-keeping, relatable God. So we should not be surprised that Jesus took God's relational name to explain who he was to people since he left heaven to relate to mankind.
I thought that was an excellent depiction of the names of God. And I'm only going to talk about two this morning. We're going to talk about Elohim, the creator God. And we're going to talk about Yahweh or Jehovah God, the relational God. And so we just saw that the name Jehovah used for God when he's referring to himself as the personal or relational God. And as the video said, when you read in your Bible, and if you look in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, you will just see God. That interpretation of the word God back to the Hebrew was Elohim, creator. But if you see Lord spelled out in all caps, that is Jehovah, the personal, relational God. The Encyclopedia Britannica says, Jehovah is the English translation of the Hebrew name Yahweh, spelled with only four letters, Y-H-W-H, and no vowels, and that word or that name is called a tetragrammaton. That's a big word. Evan, you can impress all your friends because it sounds like a character in Star Wars or something, a tetragrammaton. And it's an approximation of the holiest name of God in the Hebrew language. Scholars say that that name was held so sacred that it was never written or even spoken. So scholars really do not know how to pronounce that name. All the references that I'm going to use today are instances of Lord being in all caps, meaning Jehovah, the personal relational God, or God the Creator, Elohim. And we're going to start with God the Creator, Elohim. So in Genesis 1, and I am not going to read all of these scriptures, I'm going to refer to them. Jehovah God, Elohim the Creator. In Genesis 1, Elohim created day and night. You can just follow the list down till we get to 26, I believe. And then Elohim separated the heavens from the earth and created the firmaments. Then Elohim divided the seas from the dry land. Then he created the vegetation and gave the seeds from which all the plant life would grow. Elohim created the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. And then he created all the other animals. In verse 26 of chapter 1, Elohim created man and woman in his own image to have dominion over the fish, the fowl, the cattle, the walking beast, and the creepy crawly things. In chapter 2 of Genesis, this really stood out to me. God Elohim, the creator, rested from his creative work on day 7. In verse 3, it says, God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God Elohim had created and made. And verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. And in the day that the Lord God Jehovah, now do you see capital L-O-R-D there? The Lord God Jehovah made the earth and the heavens. We've had a change in the name of God right there in verse 4. Now we're talking about the relational, personal God. Verse 7, Jehovah formed, L-O-R-D in caps, so it's Jehovah, Yahweh, translated to English is Jehovah, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed his own breath into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8, and the Lord God Jehovah planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed to dress it and to keep it. And we know that that was where Jehovah God communed with him. Now, Genesis 2 and 18, Jehovah, the relational, personal God, said it wasn't good for man to be alone, and he created woman to be a helper to him. Now listen to this, verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God Jehovah formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Can you just not see Jehovah being pleased and happy and even entertained by his created man, Adam, giving names to all of these things that he had just created? I can see a personal, relational God doing that. Verse 21, but Jehovah caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God Jehovah, the relational, personal God, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Isn't it interesting that Adam said a man would leave his father and a mother, his mother, since he was the created being by the Lord God Jehovah to be his family, and he didn't have a mother. He was created, not birthed. But God had taught Adam, this is how it's going to work. And the man will leave his family and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, Psalm 24, verse 8 says, we see the Lord God Jehovah in power. Who is the King of glory? So we just talked about the Lord Jehovah, the creator, Elohim, the creator, and then God, the personal, relational Jehovah God, relating to Adam and Eve. And now we're going to switch to the Lord God Jehovah in power. Psalm 24:8. Who is the Lord? Who is the King of glory? Jehovah. He is strong and mighty. Jehovah. He is invincible in battle. If creation wasn't enough to display the power of God, God has at his hand and at his disposal every element of heaven and earth. These are all specifically called by name in the scriptures: the wind, the waves, the water spouts, the snow, the ice, the heat, the lightnings, and the thunders. Every one of those are named specifically as being at God's hand to use to accomplish his will. And we all know he's done that. All of them are at his command to fulfill his will. Time and time again, God has used the elements to accomplish this. But perhaps the most compelling display of God's power in the scripture is 2 Corinthians 13:4. For he was crucified in weakness, of course, talking about Jesus, but he lives by the power of God. For we are also weak in him, but in dealing with you, we live with him. We will live with him by the power of God. Resurrection. He is coming again, and we will live with him in the all, with him and the all-powerful Jehovah. Hallelujah. And now we're going to see Jehovah God in provision. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. Very familiar, maybe the most familiar when we talk about the provision of God. And this is Jehovah God, L-O-R-D in caps. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God provided. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. This just gives me chills. I'm excited whether you are or not. I hope you are. Time and time again, God has shown himself to be Jehovah Jireh, our provider, to show up on time and to provide what was needed and to teach us faith. And now we're going to look at Jehovah in majesty. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, I love that. Jesus, our Savior, is seated at the right hand of his majestic Father, Jehovah God. And lastly, Jehovah in eternity. Isaiah 40 and 28. Have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord is everlasting, the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter and the 11th verse in the New Living Translation, I really like the way this was written. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the heart of man. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. But isn't it amazing that Jehovah God put eternity in the hearts of man, and a will to live, and a will to be in communion personally and relationally with him for all eternity? Now, that's all I have, because I was going to sing the song at the end, but I felt like it was the right thing to do, to turn it around and sing it when I did. And the reason I wrote this song was because the Lord inspired me to write it. But the reason I wrote this message, well, it's the same reason, because the Lord inspired me to write it, but because I started researching Jehovah. Where did we get Jehovah from? I knew it came from Yahweh, but I wasn't sure of the whole connection. And I ran across that video that I thought laid it out so beautifully, and I wanted to play that for you before I gave you this message this morning. And I just want to take a minute to praise Jehovah God, the personal, communicating with man God. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. And I'm so thankful that he did. Lord Jehovah, we thank you today. We give you praise and we give you glory and honor, because you are in power. You reign in majesty, Lord. You are our provider, and you will be our eternal King. We thank you and we give you honor and glory today. Be with each one. Lord, I ask that you would keep your hand upon the temperature in our area. Keep it down, Lord. I pray that no damage would be caused. Avert the power outages, Lord. Help us to be protected. You protect us, Lord, with your hand, Jehovah God. And we ask these things in humility of heart, Lord. We ask them because you are our provider, and we love you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be dismissed.